Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us out of Grace Chapel. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that we have this opportunity to gather together to hear your message, Lord, so that we can gain wisdom and knowledge, so that we may do the works that you have for us to do. And Father, we just ask that you strengthen us, rejuvenate us, open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our minds, Lord, to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Abiding in the vine, love, joy, health,
Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise God. For an entire week, we've gone through and we've learned about Timothy and what it takes to do the job that all of us have been given, which is to minister the gospel and how to be a good an appropriate minister to all those who need us. All the information's been put out there. The words are there. If you were just listening to this now and finding out that we had one, it's all available online. I'd also encourage everyone who was here at the conference that went through it to go back and to listen to it all one more time. It's important for us to do our job effectively. We need to go by the standards that are in Timothy. But it's what you do with it tomorrow. It's what you do with it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on down the line. The Lord has many that are traveling back home right now, and many more that are fixing to go on that trip. What are you going to do while you're on that trip? Is it over and done with, you know, till next year? Or are you going to do what you learned? That's always seems like for a lot of people, and at times hard for me to do afterwards. Doesn't have to be, because it's a choice. The alternative isn't good. The alternative of not doing it means you're not his. Or you're one of the few, as it says in latter times, that will turn away from the faith. I'm sure everybody wants to be with the Lord. If not, then they're a fool. But it's what you do with it from this day forth, which is basically the same message that we go over every year after the conference. Do you fall back into an old pattern and do whatever you feel like? Or do you step out in the grace and the mercy and the peace of Jesus Christ to deliver His word, to deliver His gospel to those in need, to deliver the agape love to those around you? The choice is yours. The alternative isn't a good one. I just pray that everybody steps out in the faith and use what you've learned this past year to go out and become the most effective minister of the gospel that you possibly can. Amen. Of my head. Thou, O Lord.
I kind of, Brother Steve asked me to come up today, and it's funny, I kind of knew that he was going to do this. I mean, there's a lot of folks here. There's a bunch of people he could have asked to say something. And it's a funny thing. I mean, I wasn't going to come this year because it's been a tough year for me money-wise. And somehow or another, it was something Davey said maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. The only qualification to being a part of this, to being in this ministry, is to be a sinner. That was certainly a threshold that I didn't have any trouble measuring up to. I mean, as a Christian, and I said this to Sue as I came in, when I became a Christian and came to know Jesus Christ, the truth about him nearly blew me out of my shoes. I had spent a long time knowing that there was God, but the idea that you could have a relationship with God and that it was based on the work of another, that I had no idea about. And in entering into the faith and coming to know him, it was a 2-year hallelujah party. And then the balloon kind of burst, and I said to Steve a couple of weeks ago, I feel like I've been thrown out a window and I ain't been hit the ground yet. If I'd have known, and this was the end of my conversation with Sue, if I'd have known that the package of truth that came along with knowing Jesus was getting to know me, I would have run away screaming. And you see, what pride does is it tells you that the reason to run away screaming is everything around you. It's like a room full of mirrors that confuses your understanding of what's really going on. And after this sense of being thrown out a window and falling for some time, I came to a place where I understood a thing called total depravity. Total depravity is not wanting to get laid 3 or 4 times a day, or wanting to shoot dope into your arm, or wanting to get hammered day in and day out. Total depravity is a place where you come and realize that not only are you a sinner, you don't even have the capacity to participate actively in your own salvation, but for the grace of God. The fact that Jesus gives you an entrance in is the only reason any of us are here. For our own devices, we would still be doing the things that we'd always done, and we would continue to do them forever. And I can tell you as a Christian, I would do them with more zeal, knowing God and just hoping he might forgive me because I know he's able. Total depravity. Actively working to do every wicked thing. I don't know about the rest of you, but if I understood that the price of admittance to the knowledge of God was the understanding of just how deeply screwed I am, I don't think I would have come. It's a beautiful thing that he catches us with guile, that he allows us holidays from time to time where all we perceive is him. Because I don't know about anybody else, but if it wasn't for that, no way would I keep going. No way. And you see, the thing about it is, once you realize that you don't have any hope at all in yourself, he can actually begin to work with that. This is not a pleasant or entertaining experience. And it is not a finished work as long as you're still breathing. You're going to get a lot of practice for the time when your heart stops beating and you got to figure out who it is you rely on. You're going to get a lot of practice. And if you don't want that, and if you're not willing to endure it, then you might as well not be here. That's the deal. That's the deal. My brother Paul, who died this year, he was an interesting guy. I mean, here's a guy who suffered all kinds of things naturally, was chafed and abraded by every manner of thing through most of his life, and at the end of his life, it was even worse. And I remember after he died, I was out on my porch having a few beers, as I want to do. I was praying. Believe it or not, I pray sometimes when I'm drinking beer. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came upon me, and I heard Paul's voice say, "Might have been an illusion. What do I know? Better than I ever could have imagined." So the little bit that through a glass darkly that you're presently able to perceive the Lord in, better than you could ever imagine. Is it worth it? Better than you could ever imagine. That's the deal. But you got to go through this first. You got to deal with yourself. You're the only thing that can stop you from receiving what God has for you. Hallelujah.
Amen to that song. you know, one thing just on what Brother Scott was talking about. I don't know that. I don't know that I would say it's so much by guile he catches us as the fact that usually he catches us when we're in kind of a bad spot. And we think the only problem is the bad spot. Then we find out, because what have we been talking about this week? We need to die unto ourselves. So what happens is we find out there's a whole lot of dying out there that has to go on that we did not realize up front. And we did not realize the depths of our depravity. I still remember kind of, and I chuckled to myself, I won't go back through it, but I remember the day I met the Lord, maybe it was the day after. Ann was there and Robin was there, and I'm like in the kitchen over there in that farmhouse just confessing all my sins. I'm just confessing them all. I'm throwing them all out there. And it was weird. This took place for quite a long time. And I think to the point where my sister was beginning to look at me, and there was one she was particularly concerned about, which I won't go into right now, which thankfully was not the case, but it could easily have been. But all of a sudden she thought that she was no longer the worst child after she listened to me. But the thing was, is I, you know, when I look back, the reason why I chuckle now is because I chuckle now because, I mean, there was a lot. I mean, there was a lot that was laid out on that table that day. Many courses of meals for a long time. But I hadn't even hit the tip of the iceberg yet. And that's the part I was completely ignorant of. I had no idea the literal depths of my own depravity. And, you know, the Lord in his grace to us is, he doesn't make us deal with it all instantaneously. And it's kind of an unfolding story as we do it. And, you know, that's why, you know, where he says, you know, the Lord chasteneth them whom he loveth. See, we don't want to get to a place where we despise that. I mean, it is a reality and it is an unfolding story. And as we learn about it, it certainly doesn't make us feel good about ourselves, right? I mean, it has the exact opposite effect. It makes us feel horrible about ourselves. But the whole purpose of it is to turn our hope from being in ourselves to being on him. And, you know, that better than you can imagine, that is the truth. That is the truth. And that better than you can imagine is because really what it comes down to is because we really don't know him as we ought to know him, as he wants us to know him. And I forget what the first song, what's the name of the first song you guys played today? Yeah, there's what a great name for a song. I Want to Know You. No wonder I thought it had to do with this subject, right? Go figure. Praise God. I want to know you. See, Bob was talking about how I think everybody wants, you know, to be with the Lord or what have you. People want it, but they don't weigh the cost. What Scott was talking a lot about was the cost. You end up finding out about yourself things you never really wanted to know, truth be told. There's that saying, ignorance is bliss. Before you knew all that about yourself, you could be pretty pleased with yourself and pretty judgmental of others. But the more you come to know yourself, your judgment of others disappears. It disappears because you see that, oh my God, you know, not only am I the pot calling the kettle black, it's actually worse than that. Their things don't seem to be nearly as bad as your things. And you know what happens is then it's a lot easier to extend grace. It's a lot easier to have mercy to one another. It's a lot easier to love one another. And so that process, which can, yes, be painful at times, actually works a far more important work in each of our hearts and minds. And one of the things you have to come to over time is you have to come to realize that that's what you want. You want that thing that God is doing in you to be completed. You value that above every other thing. And what happens as you do that, the Lord's able to accelerate you through the process. He's able to accelerate it through you, and it becomes less painful because you're glad to be shed of that stuff. You're actually glad it came up. I mean, not in the instant, don't get me wrong. It's not like in the instant it changes that all of a sudden you're like glad, but you can very quickly turn that thing, which is kind of an offense, into a gladness because you're like, you know, they're right. Why do I want to hang on to that? I don't want to hang on to that. That sucks. And so you give it up. You go into your closet and you get on your knees and you go, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want any part of that. And as we do that, the song we just sang begins to come to pass. More of you in my life. All of a sudden you're opened up and more of the Lord gets to come in and be a part of your life and minister through you unto others. And then we're in that place where we begin to partake of his divine nature. People don't need to be partakers of our nature. They don't need what we've got to offer. They need what God has to offer. And the quicker we get that in mind and forget about giving them what we think we have and get to the place where I don't want to give them anything I have. What did Paul say? He determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Jesus Christ and him crucified is every good thing that man needs. Nothing lacking. It's got absolutely everything, folks. You know, there's nobody you're ever going to come across whose problems aren't solved by Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. So you don't need a PhD. You don't need a PhD to do it. Anybody can do it. This nation and the churches in this nation once knew that. Now they value the other, the PhDs and the masters and the bachelors and things like that. They don't value a person who's a sinner saved by grace, who loves their Lord and is willing to share the same love he's extended unto them with others. That's what the world needs. Not a bunch of people with degrees behind their names. And look, we've talked this week about being family. I don't know about you, but I mean, I think, well, all of us by definition have family because we were born. That means we had a mommy and a daddy. We might have a brother and a sister. We might have an aunt and uncle. We might have a child or a grandchild. We're all family. Now, I don't know about you, but looking out at family, sometimes I'm more pleased with one member of my family than another from time to time. Does that ever happen? Absolutely it happens. Happens in the family of God too. But underneath it all, foundationally, we're all family, folks. There's nobody here who is rejected. There's nobody here who's not welcome. There's nobody here who's not loved. There's nobody here who, I know for myself, and I believe I can speak for the people here, who I don't wish the absolute best for. The absolute best. Best that Christ has for each and every one of you. Nothing lacking. Absolutely nothing lacking. And if I may be hard on you from time to time and say things you don't find so pleasing, it's actually to that end that what it will yield is that peaceable fruit of righteousness. And the peaceableness is that you will not be fighting with God. And righteousness is that place where you become one with Him. So that when you're one with God and you're out there in the world, what you're showing people, whether they know it or not, is you are showing people Jesus. You are showing them who He is, what He's about, what His salvation is about. And it's funny because as you do this, people think you're like some kind of different being who's not been touched with the same infirmities as they have. And usually you're looking at them thinking, oh my God, you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I was in far worse shape than you are when the Lord got a hold of me. And so there's no shame in sharing it with people. And you're not sharing it to lift yourself up or make yourself out to be the worst of all sinners and all the other things and stuff like that, which it sometimes seems people do in their testimony. Now, that's not what the purpose of it is at all. You don't just go around sharing this willy-nilly. You share it because in that instant, it's what the other person needs to hear. They need to hear and know what great things God has done for you, where He's brought you from, so that they can know that you know what you're talking about when you're saying to them, look, you don't have anything out here that's too big for Him. Nothing going on in your life that's too big for Him. Because that's what pride does, is it makes what's going on with you seem like too tall and nobody else has the same problem. Scripture makes it clear, nope, you and me and all of us are just beset with the same common sin that everybody else is beset with. There's no difference. And when you can get a handle on that, you can now have that hope that we have in Christ restored and blossom. I mean blossom into a beautiful, beautiful tree that people want to partake of. They want to partake the fruit of that tree because it's the tree of life. It's that tree of life that's springing up in you, Jesus. And that tree of life bears a good fruit. It's called love. And that good fruit, everybody can partake of. And as they partake of it, it opens them up to come to know Jesus because God is in it. And therefore they see that there's something different about what you have given to them than that which they've received from anybody else. And you aren't going to waste it on yourself, talking about you. You're going to point them to Jesus from whom it came. If you don't mind me mixing a metaphor for a moment, He is the vine, we are the branches, right? And the fruit that they're partaking of, what supplies everything to bring forth that fruit is Him, not us. And so you're pleased to give all the glory to Him. You're pleased to abase yourself before people. You're pleased to do these things that you might win some. You're pleased to stand firm and stand strong against those who would come in and do harm to others. Why? For their sakes. You're pleased to have people think evil of you and have all manner of wrong judgment of you and put motives and everything else on you. Why? because you're loved by him. And it's not you they're hating, it's him. And the very hate that they are having can actually turn to their salvation. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if you guys ever noticed this in the scripture. But you know, in the book of Acts, in the first few chapters, as you see them like beat Peter and John, and then they throw them into prison and stuff like that. And, you know, they're getting a hard time, right? They're getting a hard time. And you read later about how a great company of the priests had come to know the Lord. You know, many who were actually furious with Jesus, consenting unto his death, wanting to get rid of him and those like him, ended up ultimately being saved. See, if it's not about you, you can stand for others, regardless of what they think about you, or what they do to you, or what they're threatening to do to you. We need more of that kind of love, don't we? We need a lot more of that kind of love. We need it amongst ourselves. I mean, Gail, and forgive me for bringing something up, but I'm going to bring something up because I think Gail's not a problem with it. People have sometimes had a problem talking with Gail. That's not love on your part. Not love on your part. Sometimes people have a problem talking with somebody in the ministry here. That's not love. That's hate, folks. That's loving yourself and hating your sister or brother. That stops. You understand me? I feel like I'm talking to my children right now as I say it. And forgive me for that kind of thing. Many of you are older than me, and I don't mean it in a down-putting way. What I mean it is, we can't have that. We can't have that, folks. The commandment of God is to love one another. To love one another as he hath loved us. That is the commandment of God. It's not my commandment. It's his. Look around you. The other night, Davey said, turn to somebody and say you love them in the name of Jesus. And then people kept going around. He said, I said to someone, you know, one person right next to you. Do it. Do it. Time is short for each of us. Time is short. Love one another. It does not matter what the other does to you. It does not matter the attitude that they may have against you. Love them. Love them. And let's love one another in wisdom and in grace and in mercy, not in condemnation. Let us do this. Let us not leave here as we were when we got here. Let us leave here with a determination that we are going to love one another. If we can learn to love one another, it will be easy to love those that are without. It'll be easy to step out and minister in compassion and mercy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we can't love one another, you kid yourself to think you can go out and minister the love of God to those that are without. Think of it as your barometer. It's going to measure where you're standing. in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love one another. Amen.
There is joy in the Lord. There is love in the Spirit. There's hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain that flows like a river from Him.
Truth and know He is the way to heaven.
give the Lord a cheer.
Praise God. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we are your family. Amen. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that that love of God will just pour down upon us, Lord, and that you'll incline each of our hearts towards the other, that we may love one another as you have loved us. And may that love grow and abound in this body and in this fellowship and in the fellowships that are sprinkled about across the land. And Lord, may that love of yours move through these bodies also to minister your gospel in deed as well as in word unto the people we come across in our communities. And we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I know he's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. I believe. away. My pain is healing the same. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.